he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. So that was like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the dust survived. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez, coming to you live from San Leandro, California. It's a beautiful day in California, but it's been crazy. Rain one day, sunny the next. Rain one day, you get the picture of what it's like now. It's sunny. It's a beautiful day outside. Today is Friday, November 2nd. 2012, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going to happen because there are only so many days left in the year. I mean, shit. We've got DDP in the chat room. And we got to get ready for Christmas, pal. DDP's like, yeah, I ain't buying everybody Christmas presents. I ain't rich. Yeah, nobody's rich. Well, some people are. Some people are. Just not us, DDP. But hey, everyone, you know, let's get you, this is the place. If you want to come and get your weekend started off right, this is where you get it done right here. Being first things first, we've got to do the NFL rundown, and then the World Series took place. Everybody thought that they were going to extend games, and then that everybody thought that tonight would be Game 7. Oh, man. And we've got some off-the-wall, crazy, crazy wrestling news for you all. As well as, you know, WWE and TNA breakdowns of what happened on their shows, along with who's confused and who's not. Because today we're going to be talking about confusing them. And what I mean by that is, you know, when writers come together and they write out a show, they have to make sure it makes sense to the audience. Otherwise, we, as the audience, ladies and gentlemen, get confused. You transfer from one storyline to the next, and then by the third storyline, you're like, wait a minute, what? That doesn't even make sense. But I'm here to help you all out with that today and make sure that it makes sense for all of you. And, well, you know, you know that the holidays are here, and you never know what's going to happen. Never know who we could have on the show, who could make a surprise appearance. It always happens around the holidays. That's why I'm preparing you now, ladies and gentlemen. But you never know. I mean... get ready. I mean, we've got certain small little things lined up for the holidays for you guys to get ready for. But other than that, I mean, shit, did we ever expect AJ Stahl to call in last year? The day before Christmas. Our show aired the day before Christmas, and he decides to call in. I tell you, it's crazy. Got to welcome guest 2786 into the chat room. How you doing? Now, let's get into this, because everybody is trying to figure things out. I mean, first off, I just want to take this opportunity, and I pray for the safety of everyone in the Northeast. Hope you guys are all doing great. A lot of craziness going on over there with that crazy storm. And remember when I said last week that amidst all the warnings of the authorities telling people to evacuate immediately, those calls did not go to heed. You know, people didn't pay attention to them, because half the people in the west part of Florida, they weren't going to give up their money. The money that they had paid tickets for a WWE house show. Because Vince McMahon had said that, you remember when I told you all about that for Wrestling News? Our show is still going to go on. Well, similar things are happening in the NFL. Because even though with all the tragedy and things going on in the Northeast, the Steelers and the Giants game, now it's Roger Goodell who's the one fucking up over here. He's allowed this game to go on as scheduled. It's like, wait a minute. Can't the authorities do anything more? Can't they tell these promoters that we said they get the hell out of here? Because the way that the weather has ruined New York and other parts out there? See what I mean? That's why I said I wish me and you, ladies and gentlemen, were rich. Because the rich bastards like Vince McMahon and Roger Goodell, they don't care. There's always been the philosophy of the show must go on. We know so-and-so's not here, but the show is going to go on. Well, in the midst of chaos, I say this. We don't need the show to go on. We need to take a break. I mean, there's been a few deaths over there. People have lost their homes. And you're still willing to go ahead and throw out your little promotions. Because they're afraid of losing money. Promoters have always been afraid to lose money. Oh, we can't, you know, just pretend that tragedy never happened and we still need to make the money that we need to make. No, that's not the way you do things. Promoters for the longest time, ladies and gentlemen, have always said that we're the only ones that are truly here for the American people. No, not like this. You want to stand for the American people? You want to be a true American? Then you turn your ass around and you go right back home. Or you stay there and help the efforts of the thing going on. You know, one of my favorite bands, I have so many favorite bands, but the main band that I admire the most is Rise Against. Because when Katrina hit, these guys were actually supposed to do a 3-day tour in different parts of Katrina and the surrounding area. They were going to do a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday tour. But then when Katrina happened, you know, their airplane happened to be late. And they wondered, why is our airplane late? Our fans are going to be disappointed. But then when they got the news that Katrina hit, they still went out there. But see, they didn't go out there to still do shows. They went out there to help. They went out there and they started, you know, making phone calls, getting things together, and then everybody else got involved. Well, we need this, we need that. They don't have water. We need water down here. One of the production guys in the band, you know, he distributes, he calls his uncle that he used to work for because his uncle used to, you know, provide lumber and he's still in the wood business. And he told his uncle what had happened and he said, well, I'm going to send this wood down for free. The hell with it. If it costs my company money, I don't care. You're in the band. You know what's going on down there. You're seeing the effects. So all this wood and supplies got sent there. And the production assistants for the band start taking hammers and drills and rebuilding these people's homes down there. And then when they felt the time was right, they went ahead and dispersed the crowd that tried to give them money for the show. They said, no, no, no. This coming Monday, we're going to do a free show. Forget the tickets, forget the money. Our concert series that we were supposed to have this weekend has now been jam-packed into one big show. So instead of a two-hour show, we're going to give you a four-hour show with all the songs we were going to do, and it's all free. Forget it. Why can't the sports promoters of the world be like that band Rise Against? Because Vince McMahon, well, WWE, you know, they, if you go to their website, it's on there. There's still time to get involved at this, you know, house show coming up on Saturday night, which is tomorrow night. Tomorrow night in New Jersey, they were supposed to do this show, and then they were going to take the rest of the show and do it down in Florida. They still want you to buy tickets. Amidst the storm and chaos and all this. And now Roger Goodell has done the same thing. He says that no matter what happens, this Sunday Steelers and Giants game will still go on. And it's like, wait a minute, what? I mean, this is a game between, sure, everybody wanted to see the Super Bowl champions, the New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this so-called Sandy Storm is what they're calling it. But that's because Roger Goodell, he spoke with the New Jersey governor, Chris Christine, early this morning, as a matter of fact. And they worked out a plea bargain deal where Roger Goodell had offered to help the city in some way that the NFL would pay for. It's not much, let me tell you right now. But, you know, after much debate, Roger Goodell finally got this governor of New Jersey to, you know, take the deal that he made for him. There should not be any deals going on. You should either cancel the game or replay the game next weekend in New York. Or New Jersey. But no, because Roger Goodell is Roger Goodell. And even them, they're still trying to sell tickets for this game. It's like my sisters all say, you know how girls all like to say, hello? What the hell is going on here? Are you listening to the American people, or would you rather spend your well worth on a game? It's a game. You know, I tell you, I don't know what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. One last thing before we get into the actual thing of sports. It's like a few years ago when I was with a friend of mine and we were playing video games, and I came out of the bathroom and he's like, "Oh, son of a bitch, I lost again." I forgot what game he was playing, but he threw my controller. I think I've told this story before, but he threw my controller on the ground and cracked the edge of it. I was like, "Hey, what the hell are you doing, man?" He's like, "Well, the game pissed me off." And I said, "Dude, deal. It's a game. You can always replay it again." But surely Roger Goodell would not listen to me, even if I told him to his face that the Steelers-Giants game that's supposed to take place on Sunday, it's just a game. He's going to probably tell me, "Well, you know how much money it would cost to delay this game and blah, 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 and..." Anyways, how about the 49ers on Sunday? Boy, did they really whip ass. I'm not a Niners fan. Everybody else I know here in the area is. I can't believe that they did what they did. 43-3. That one's... Wow. And then, of course, my Raiders. Yes, I'm a Raiders fan. We won in overtime on Sunday. That was beautiful. Just beautiful the way they took that out. Then, of course, last night, if you saw it on the NFL Network, San Diego beat the crap out of the Chiefs, 31-13. The Chiefs tried to hang on. You know, between that game and the Bears game on Sunday, and with the Raider game, and of course the Niner game, those five games individually, I know the real referees are back, ladies and gentlemen. DDP, I know it's not okay to miss calls, but damn, I saw so many penalties in all these five games. I'm like, where's the call? Where is the call? But I guess the referees just, I don't know. I mean, I know that in the NFL there's six referees surrounding the field. There always have been. Maybe they should create new titles for two more referees. Yeah, that's what we need. Anyway, this Sunday, Miami will take on Indianapolis. Buffalo will take on Houston. Baltimore takes on Cleveland. Denver will take on Cincinnati. That's going to be a real good game. Chicago will take on Tennessee. Detroit will take on Jacksonville. Carolina will take on Washington. Minnesota will take on Seattle. Pittsburgh will take on the Giants. As you just heard me mention, this game is still going to go on, despite, you know, the Sandy Storm or wherever they're calling it. Dallas will take on Atlanta, and then, of course, Monday Night Football. Philadelphia will take on the New Orleans Saints. I can't believe it. We will see what happens, ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday. I mean, dang. Now, another quick recap is that, you know, everyone, at least everyone here in my area, because San Francisco is only a 45-minute drive. You got to pay that toll fee, though, of course, to get across the bridge and get your ass into the city. but it's an honor to be a Giants fan for baseball. But everybody really, really thought that Detroit would take our ass out forever. And after watching all the games and all the replays and everything that had happened in the World Series, I just held my breath and said, whatever happens, happens. And then it kept going. It was like all last week, every game that I watched, we won. And it's crazy that I don't even know half of these Giants fans, but if you're a Giants fan listening right now, I'd just like to thank you for supporting the Giants. I support them too. Because it was crazy because some people, well, at least some people that I saw here on the local news, had said that they had never, ever been to Detroit. Boy, they said it was cold. They had never been in such type of weather before. Now, if that was me, I would be saying the same thing because I've never left California. So I would probably be like, damn, it's this cold over here in Detroit? Good grief. But I will admit right here live on the air to guest 2786 and DDP and the rest of the world listening, I was panicked on Sunday night. When the Giants caught themselves a two-error situation in the top of the fifth inning, I said, oh no. And then when it was Detroit's turn up to bat, Detroit just started swinging the ball left and right with that damn bat. And then they got two runs out of it. So then it became a 2-1 lead. And I was like, crap, we might actually lose this game. Because the way the rules work in Major League Baseball, this is the rule that Bud Selig has always felt strong about since he's the commissioner of that promotion, that brand for sports, that the rule is that if the opposing team that has not won a World Series game yet, that if they do win, there would be another game 24 hours later. And then if they won again, there would be three more extended games, which meant there would have been Monday night, Wednesday night, and then tonight would have been game 7. I was like, we don't need a game 7. We really don't. I mean, we won all last week. All last week, the Giants took care of business. But when the end came, well, I was still scared because Detroit had forced the Giants into extra innings. Thanks to, well, their main player, Pablo Sandoval, who was getting home runs almost every night throughout this entire series. But he gets called late in the seventh inning, right before they go to the eighth inning. He's called strikeout at second base. He's like, no, my foot touched the bag. I was like, yeah, his foot hit the bag. But the umpires all agreed that, no, he's out. He was out at second. Clearly he was out. I didn't want to believe the footage because I saw it with my own eyes, but I was like, well, that's what instant replay is there for. And a lot of people that I've talked to in the sports world, they're like, you know, what if there's a chance, and they said this before too about the wrestling stuff, what if the people in charge of these organizations are actually listening to you? Well, like I said in 2005, and I'll say it again here, if Roger Goodell, Bud Seeley, Vince McMahon, and Dixie Carter all happen to hear what I say about their promotions and the way they run their organizations, I don't care. If they're listening, good. Take some fucking advice for once. Because this whole entire year, Bud Seeley and Roger Goodell have said that we don't think instant replay is necessary anymore in our sport. Ha! 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 Don't make me laugh. Very funny. Because I talked about it in June. I said the indignity of getting rid of the instant replay system would kill everything because you wouldn't be able to review what actually happened. You would have the same problems that you had in 2000 when, you know, the replay system didn't work for a while. And that's when all the referees were going behind our backs. The referees that we're supposed to trust, ladies and gentlemen. The referees that we're supposed to trust for these NFL games were all caught gambling on the games behind our backs because the instant replay system wasn't working. This is why you need instant replay. I mean, like I said 10 minutes ago, there were a lot of blown calls both in the World Series and this past Sunday with the five NFL games I mentioned earlier. This is why you don't need to get rid of instant replay. Roger Goodell, Bud Seeley, leave it alone. And I didn't get a chance to go to the Giants parade this year because, you know, I went in 2010. I went all the way to San Francisco. It was awesome. But I couldn't go this year. Because on Wednesday, I'm getting ready for work. This was on Tuesday when I was getting ready for work. And they go, well, tomorrow's the big day. If you're planning on going to the Giants parade, I was like, yes. I would like to go. I can go straight after work. And they go, there's a new time. A new start time this year, much, much different from 2010. Because in 2010, they had started it at 5:30. But hell, I get off at 4 o'clock. It only takes me 20, 30 minutes to get home. I could have come home. Or actually, I could have rather just drove my car to the nearest transportation system that we have here in California, in my area that I live. I could have taken the public train, public transit, all the way to San Francisco. I would have gotten there 5 minutes late, but hey, at least I would have gotten there. But this time, they go, we're going to have it at 11 a.m. I was like, damn it, I got to be at work tomorrow. I won't be able to go to the Wednesday parade. So to all my friends that are listening, you lucky bastards, I hope you had fun. I wish I could have been there. But now that the World Series is over, you know, some people are focusing on other things. I haven't really followed basketball too much. But what about that Mavericks game on Wednesday night, huh? I mean, I haven't watched basketball in years, but I just happened to stop the channel there because I had to take a phone call and stuff like that. Next thing you know, they're cheering because, you know, their team is winning. And the coaches from the 76ers had decided we need a timeout. And during the timeout, a huge malfunction. I don't know if you guys saw the game or read about it on Yahoo, but a serious, serious malfunction took place during the game. DDP, at this basketball game, man, the pyro starts going off for no reason. They can't explain why it happened. The guy at the control said he's not sure. Electricity just went all over the building. At first, they thought they needed to evacuate the building. But luckily, there were some off-duty firefighters at the game that night that took care of the problem for the stadium and for people that were there and protected the safety of the people. I said, damn, I had to stop channel surfing so I could take this phone call As soon as I hang up, this shit happens? Dang. Maybe I should start watching basketball more, DDP. I don't know. But now if we're done with all of that, there's only two things left to worry about now. Some people care about NASCAR, some people don't. But more than likely, a lot of people are now paying attention closely to the other sport, the NFL. Now you're probably wondering, how come all these NFL games were scheduled so closely well in advance of each other? Well, guess 2786, I'll explain that to you now. The whole plan and reasoning behind scheduling the games so close together, and of course adding the Thursday night game for the NFL Network, Roger Goodell is trying to be slick. He's trying to have the Super Bowl again in February. Just because they had their little fucking stupid lockout last year, he's like, oh, I like that idea. I think we should have the Super Bowl in February. Yeah, we'll make it right after the new year. Yeah, perfect. That's a lot better. I like that idea. Why didn't we think of that years ago? Oh, please, you just want to rush all these games and get it over with? Huh. Ah, my good friend Matt Broderick has got into the chat room. What's going on, Matt? Matt, of course, just got off work. But hey. It's a good thing I was about to mention it, but it's a good thing I waited for Matt. Matt, of course, he's probably going to kill me for mentioning this on the air. But Matt Broderick is about a week old from his birthday last week. And ladies and gentlemen, now that he's here, it's a good thing I didn't mention it, but you know, I have a little surprise for you all, and it's going to take place during this commercial break. Don't worry. We've got a lot more to talk about. So, yeah. Hold on to your hats.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Acromba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Thank you. welcome to the revolution. Do you know why I am the leader? Because I'm the best in the world. I put attitudes back where it belongs. So join me. Live the revolution.
Live the revolution with WWE 13.
Big move.
Featuring the exclusive Attitude Era single-player campaign with 20 classic WWE videos, over 65 matches, all new cinematic cutscenes, 150 historical photos, and over 100 unlockables. Predator Technology 2.0, delivering smoother and more responsive WWE gameplay than ever before. The all-new WWE Live audio and presentation system.
Maybe broken in half.
The most authentic recreation of live WWE television to date. The biggest WWE roster of all time, featuring current-day superstars and legends of the Attitude Era. Battle your way to the top in the WWE Universe 3.0 Career Mode, giving you more control of your destiny, your shows, and your WWE than ever before. From the creative direction of Paul Heyman, and create your WWE superstars, entrances, finishing moves, arenas, stages, and storyline in the best creation suite in WWE history. Add 19 superstars, legends, and divas with downloadable content, including all new moves and championship titles. And exclusive only to fan access members, Diamond Dallas Page and Gold Dust.
WWE 13, live the revolution.
Pre-order WWE 13 today and play as the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show, ladies and gentlemen. And during that last commercial break, Coffee jumped right into the chat room. How you doing, pal? You know, Coffee, it's funny you should say that. I've been thinking about getting the Saints Row game. That looks pretty awesome. You know, so many video games are coming out. And, you know, it's funny. I'm glad that WWE had mentioned through the commercial, Matt, that Paul Heyman was the one behind creating the actual video game analysis for WWE. Not Vince McMahon. Not Bruce Pritchard, not anybody else. It was Paul Heyman to put the concept and the ideas into the video game. And you know what? I can testify to that, Matt. Because the commercial, as much as it was a surprise for you, the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, is not the surprise. The surprise is, I now own the game. I have the game. And if any of you want to play me on PS3 online, you go ahead and bring it, because I will beat all of you, down for the 1, 2, 3, and that's the bottom line, Matt. Hey, but so far, you know, no consistencies with the game. Amazing graphics. The DLC makes you really feel like you're really, you know, there. Like you're just so caught up in the moment, I can't say any more about the game. All I got to say is you have to get it. Oh, and the unlockable character about the whole Mike Tyson thing, I got it yesterday. I got it last night, as a matter of fact. And I went to GameStop because that's where I go. A lot of my buddies from high school work there. I go there just to chill out with the boys, see what's up with them, since I haven't seen them since high school. And I go, you got this game? And my friend goes, you know what? You're lucky. You're lucky. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm lucky. I'm always lucky. That's how I roll. I'm Matt Alvarez. He goes, no, you're lucky because you got the last fucking copy of at our store. I'm like, what? So what if I went to the other store down the street? He's like, well, there's no guarantee that they have it. But since you're here, you better buy it. So I did. I got the last copy at that store. Dude, I'm also thinking about getting that game. I think I might get Assassin's Creed. I've never been able to play any of the games yet, Coffee, but hey, since we're on the subject of video games, I told my friend about that last night while I was purchasing the WWE game. He's like, well, since you haven't really played any of the Assassin's game, if you want to play Assassin's Creed, I would suggest playing the second one before you play the new one. Otherwise, you're not going to understand what the hell is going on. I said, okay, I'll take that into consideration and think about Assassin's Creed. So, yeah. Great graphics, though, ladies and gentlemen. Great graphics for the game. Matt, as soon as we go off the air here, I'm a bail on you guys. I don't care. I'm a bail on you guys if I have to. No, just kidding. I won't do that. But immediately after the game, at some point, I'm going to get on Attitude Era, Matt, and see what that's all about. Got to get in there and create my character, too. All right, Coffee, thank you for that delightful Assassin's Creed information. I'll think about that, too. Oh, this is great. So we don't have to talk just about sports. This is your show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not the one that, well, I mean, I started the whole commercial thing for video games, and now look at the conversation just taking long shots. Ah, okay, Coffee. Thank you for that. He just told me in the chat room that the first and second Creed go together. The third one is a completely different story. That's what he said. Yes, Matt, the Bears had a very, very ugly game last weekend. Because just like the week before, Matt, damn, Jay Cutler took another hit this past Sunday. I hope Jay Cutler's okay. I mean, after two consecutive Sundays in a row, getting hit like that, I'm surprised he's not unconscious or has a concussion. He told ESPN after the game, I'm fine. I just had to take a hit. I'm proud to take one for the team, though. I was like, Jay Cutler talking about taking one for the team. Well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this very quickly. You can keep the conversation going in the chat room. That's what the chat room is for. Well, because in an exclusive update, there are two WWE performers who have recently gone on the shelf due to injuries. Alex Riley, you're probably wondering why you haven't seen him on television. That's because he underwent orthotic knee and elbow surgery 6 weeks ago. He's now starting to be able to actually train on his own, and he's set to return to the ring for an eventual return. In regards to Derek Bateman, who also hasn't been seen on TV, he hasn't even been at, you know, the FCW events either, who was recently injured on a Saturday morning slam match with Antonio Cesaro. Bateman underwent knee surgery this week, and there's no word on the severity of the surgery. Former WWE developmental Christina Crawford, a.k.a. Kaylee Turner, competed in a dark match after last night's Impact television taping for TNA in Orlando, Florida. And you may not have known this guy, but she is the younger sister of current WWE wrestler Alicia Fox. Actually, because her sister, you know, little Christina Crawford, she's She took on ODB in a match last night. And this is terrible news. Terrible news. Matt, you better pray for this lady. I mean, I know you one time you wanted her to be your girlfriend, but that's not going to happen. She's married, remember. The great WWE ring announcer Lillian Garcia and songwriter told WWE that she was hit by an SUV this week while working out. She was not in a vehicle, but she did say it was the most frightening thing she's ever been through. She said she's suffering from head, neck, and back trauma. She said that she has lacerations and wounds on the left side of her body. You got to pray for Lillian Garcia. Terrible. Yes, I am, Coffee. I love Call of Duty. For some reason, my other friends say that Call of Duty sucked ass. I don't know why they feel that way, but that's their opinion. Thank you for asking me. And there's been some kind of an undercover hidden Vince McMahon account on Twitter that had confidential information on it, but somebody found out about it, and now it's been leaked and hacked on the internet. Now everybody knows about it. But Vince McMahon, through this hidden Twitter account, said that a certain WWE wrestler, they're not saying who, but a certain WWE wrestler had to ask for his release from the Sports Entertainment Organization. And this is what Vince had to say. And if you have little ones around, you may want to cover their ears. These next few words come from Vince McMahon, not me, ladies and gentlemen. Vince McMahon had this to say on his hidden, well, not so hidden Twitter account anymore. So these goddamn, another pussy boy wants his release. He's ungrateful pussy fucks. He said, I'll ruin them all. All of them. Fuck all of you. Because back in June, the cranky Vince account cryptically remarked that Alberto Del Rio had threatened to quit the Sports Entertainment Organization, with the story being confirmed as legitimate days later by sources. But Del Rio was eventually talked out of quitting the company. And even though, you know, Ryback lost at Hell in a Cell, there are plans to push him as the new main event babyface monster in the future. Once the decision was made to keep the belt on CM Punk, who then tried to come up with ways for him to lose without looking weak, WWE considered several options before going with crooked referee Brad Maddox. Several ideas brought up included running from The Big Show, Mark Henry, or even Vince McMahon himself. See? Didn't I tell you? What did I say last week, ladies and gentlemen? They should have just let a rookie win. The plan was for him to have a clean win over Punk, but at the last minute, Vince goes and changes his mind. No. CM Punk needs to keep the title, damn it. Keep the title on him. And that's how they got Brad Maddox involved. Oh, you guys are talking about Halo. Sorry, not a fan of Halo. Sorry, I'm really not. Not a fan of the Xbox either. Yeah, I know you're probably all throwing popcorn or whatever at me through your computer screens. I'm feeling those on my head right now. And the official NWA website reports that Brad Armstrong, I'm sorry, this is very difficult for me to read this, who most notably competed for the National Wrestling Alliance and WCW throughout the 1980s and 1990s, and briefly as a small stint hidden character in 2006 for WWE, was found dead in his home Monday morning. He was 51 years old. WWE's message said that they are saddened to learn of the passing of Brad Armstrong, who is one of four sons of Bullet Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, who last participated in the ring for the WWE brand under the ECW new brand in 2006, understands that Brad saw his physician last week for a medical issue and was found unresponsive this morning. This was Monday morning, of course. WWE extends its sincere condolences to the entire Armstrong family. Brad is the brother of current WWE referee Scott Armstrong and producer Brian Road Dogg James. The brothers, as well as Steve, who wrestled for WCW 1992 as Lance Cassidy, inducted Bullabong Armstrong into the WWE Hall of Fame last year. So, if you're a big Scott Armstrong referee fan, sorry, don't worry about that. He's not going to be on television for quite some time. Because you know how Scott Armstrong and Brad Maddox, they're still going to continue with the Brad Maddox referee situation, but you know that Scott Armstrong was involved in some of his own controversial storyline stints. Kyle Poe is in the chat room. How you doing? So, yeah, you know, our thoughts and prayers here at the Sports Opinion Show go out to the Armstrong family as well. This is very sad news. Lost a great, great guy and a great wrestler. Man, so many people are just dropping like flies, so to speak. So, yeah. I tell you. Anyway, let's get into this for Monday Night Raw. The Sensational Rundown in it, the way that this show went, you know, and Vincent's very precarious again, like he was last year, like he was the year before. Monday Night Raw is my product, he says, all the time. And this week he had the nerve to say that there's no way that Raw is seriously losing ratings. It's got to be a joke. No, it's no joke. And speaking of jokes, just a side note. I'm about to go on the most elusive, quick rant for just a second. Just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Because speaking of jokes, I'd like to say that if you're one of these fucking stupid retards on YouTube who've been making these videos talking about, oh, from last Monday night, oh, did you see that? Batista's back. Batista came back and, man, he kicked Ryback's ass. What are you talking about? Why are you even making YouTube videos about this? Talking all this bullshit that Batista came back and he was the one that was handpicked by Vince to take out Ryback or CM Punk for that matter. Batista is no longer in WWE. People were confused, get interested. They're like, wait a minute, I thought Batista left. Yes, Matt, you're right. You're right. Because there's no way that Batista could show up on Monday Night Raw last week when the newest edition, and I'm just throwing it out there, but, I mean, you can go pick up your copy. I'm not trying to promote it. But the latest edition that came out on Tuesday was released. They're in stores everywhere. The newest edition of Muscle and Fitness magazine has Batista on the cover. Now, I didn't buy the magazine, but I read through it. And I took some notes with my nice cell phone so I can read them all to you here today. And he's in Strikeforce, like Matt said in the chat room. He's doing MMA with Strikeforce, the fight Strikeforce promotion, which is true. See, that's why I'm glad you people come to me for the truth, unlike these fucktards who want to lie and shit and bullshit on YouTube. Oh, Batista came back. Yeah, it was great. He did not. We all saw last week's Raw, right? Did anybody see Batista on Raw? I didn't. I don't know what Raw brand they're watching. They just want, you know, the world to be publicized on their YouTube channels. I'm not going to give them that satisfaction. It's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm still alive. Okay? But Batista said that the reason that he left WWE was because he wanted to do movies. He wanted to do commercials. He wanted to do all these other things. Thank you for listening to my quick YouTube rant about these idiots. But anyway, back to where we were at. He said that the reason that he left was because you can't do all these things that, you know, because WWE makes you sign these huge waivers and huge contracts that say, we'll pay you this, and this much amount of money, but you can't do this and this and that. Actually, you can't do anything unless we give you full authorized management permission. It's not like how it was back in the day. Back in the day, you could get permission from anybody. It could even be a road agent. You could just walk up to a road agent. You know, even though JR, when, you know, Jim Ross, was in charge of the talent at the time, he wasn't really management, you know, material. But you could walk up to him and be like, hey, I'm taking tomorrow off, you know. And JR would be like, sure, cool. I'll just let Vince know. It's okay. No big deal. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. But now you have to go to the main people in charge to let them know what you want to do and how you want to do this. And now they're going to go, no. No, Matt, this is not the old days anymore. You're not going to get the weekend off. This is how it works. So, yes, he's in that new movie, Man with the Iron Fist. That looks very promising. And when he expressed his interest about going to, you know, MMA-style fights, he immediately tried to go to the top of the food chain. He thought he could just walk in there. Well, he was taught a very valuable lesson that if you're going to go to the big dog, be prepared to give up even more. Because he still went to UFC with the idea that, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm a big star already. I've put my name out there for many, many years, for the last decade with Vince McMahon. Surely you can work that out. And Dana White said, no, we don't do that here either. We're just like Vince. Sorry. You're going to come to UFC, you're going to come to UFC, and UFC only. Because much like Vince McMahon, Dana White has also strapped down the rules and everything. Remember when Randy Couture and all those guys, Hugh Jackman, all those UFC guys used to just appear in any commercial that they wanted to? Now you have to go straight to Dana White to get permission for these things. And the only one that would offer that type of deal or that type of freedom was Strikeforce. Strikeforce says, no, we allow our athletes and people that want to become MMA fighters, if they want to do movies, they can go do movies. If they want to participate in a benefit to help those less fortunate, we go let them support the community. If they want to be in commercial roles, if they want to help their favorite band, we let them do what they need to do, and then they eventually come back and they help us out. And then get this. When the interviewer in the magazine, the Muscle Fitness magazine, asked him, what was your main reason for leaving Vince McMahon's promotion? You know what he said? He said, well, it's not just me. And based on the facts that I gave you from the wrestling news segment that we just did about two people that they're not going to name want to leave Vince McMahon promotion. Everybody's leaving for this one reason that Batista said. He said, well, ever since last year, last October, when Vince wanted to change and become a PG product, he said, I'm not a PG guy. I'm not a PG guy. I never have been and I never want to be. He's like, just look at the Stale now. Look at all the boys and all the women that are leaving. That's why they're leaving. See, this is why Vince McMahon is so frustrated that his Raw ratings are dropping like flies and it's slowly, slowly dying. And which leads us to this. Ryback took on JTG, and of course Ryback won, with more things happening. Randy Orton took on Wade Barrett. Randy Orton was the winner. By the way, that was an awesome match. Team Hell No took on Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. And of course, the winner for that match was Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan. Kofi Kingston took on Antonio Cesaro. But, you know, Antonio Cesaro pulled out an illegal weapon and used it on Kofi Kingston right in front of the referee. And, of course, he had no choice but to call for the bell and disqualify Antonio Cesaro. Zack Ryder and Santino Marella took on Jinder Mahal. Let's just say the 3MB, you know, the new band thing that they got going. And so your winners, well, 3MB. Beth Phoenix took on AJ Lee. Now check this out. AJ Lee, after the match, Vicky came out and said that she expected more from AJ, but that she wanted to restart the match. So restart the match they did, and Beth wins with a quick glam slam. Beth Phoenix is your winner. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara took on Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, a.k.a. Road Scholars, and they won. Alberto Del Rio took on Justin Gabriel. Alberto won, even though, you know, we did see the 450 splash from Justin Gabriel. Yes, Batista's DVD. I have not had a chance to review it or see it, but I'm sure, Matt, if you say it's a good DVD, then guys, I'll have to agree with you. But let's take a quick look at this. Because, as I said, the subject of our title theme today is confusing them. And I mean us. WWE has been confusing us since last year. Even before October of last year arrived, way before they went PG. And they kind of brought back some reform. Oh, let's say by the group of, remember, I don't know, maybe by a couple of cool dudes that called themselves the Nexus. Remember that? But then they spin things out of control. Somewhere along the line, they said that Wade Barrett would control and maintain the leadership of the Nexus. Then they go and they start having all these Raw rewrite problems. Remember the whole thing I've been talking about that it's been going on for almost a year and a half now. It's still going on. And they just started confusing themselves. And then they in turn confuse us, the audience that are watching their show, to see what they're going to provide us. I'll take you for an example here. Remember last week when Vince McMahon said that Vicky Guerrero is not the general manager, Coffee. Nor is she in charge of anything, Matt. That's what Vince McMahon said. It came out of his mouth, live on Raw. Then he had the nerve to say, well, managing supervisor? I don't even know what that means. You could tell that he seriously, seriously does not know what that title still means. And, you know, and then through Michael Cole and JR, they go, well, that's a new title on us. Managing supervisor. Okay, well, she's not in charge of anything. But then a half an hour later into the show, this is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not see it, this took place 30 minutes after Raw had started. Raw had only been on the air for 30 minutes. Because with the whole Beth Phoenix and AJ Lee match, when Beth Phoenix, you know, got the restart from Vicky Guerrero, after the match, though, after the rematch and the restart of it, Beth Phoenix goes to the backstage area. She's like, well, we took care of AJ. Our problem is solved. Yeah. And her and Vicky give each other a high five. And she goes, well, you didn't do so good. You didn't do exactly what I told you to exactly do. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you didn't do anything at all. So, on account of that, Beth Phoenix, you're fired. Wait a minute. See what I mean? Michael Cole and JR say one thing, but then the storyline prediction is the storyline writers? The writers say a completely different thing than what JR and Michael Cole said? So, wait. And even last week, Vin said what I just said 5 minutes ago. He told AJ before he fired her last week, remember? This woman is not in charge of Raw. She's not the general manager. She's not even the intern general manager. But she is the managing supervisor of Raw. How does she have the power to fire and hire people then when she subsequently rehired AJ? And now the writers are like, whoops. Did we just say that on television? Did we ruin the whole concept of Vicky Guerrero not being in charge? I'm sure if I was to have a WWE writer on the air here, and if I was interviewing a so-called writer, and if I was to ask him these questions, you know he wouldn't be able to give me or you a truthful answer. He'd be like, well, I don't know how to explain that one. Yeah, I'm very sorry. I don't know how to explain why we did what we did. And then the substantial effort to say that, you know, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, that they're leaning on each other for support, that this is a great tag team pandemonium. But then the writers turn around and they say, you know, without Michael Cole and JR saying it, the opposing tag team grabs the microphone, which is the three-man band, and they had the nerve to say on television that Team Hell No is just, it's just that. They're a Hell No team that will never get along. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the storyline supposed to be apathetic to reaching the tag team titles? See, they're trying to, in some ways, bring back compelling storylines, like they did with the Nexus, like they did, you know, just remember that WWE commercial 13 I just played, too. How it's all about the attitude, because it's what brought them into the mainstream was the Attitude Era. I'll give you an example. This is why I really, really enjoyed. Remember that TV show 24 starring Keith Sutherland? There, I remembered his name. But that was very, very awesome. See, it's TV shows like that, or you just go back to and look at old TV shows of NYPD Blue, how you thought one storyline would go the other way, but then the writers would turn around and go, oh, we're going to do this, and you'd be like, ooh, that was good. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect this person to get murdered in the show. I expected somebody else to be the bad guy. See, but nobody wants to, you know, do compelling storylines because they feel that compelling storylines like that are dead and are no longer useful. And this is certainly floating around in the mind of Vince McMahon. But at the same time, he's very paranoid. Oh my, he's raising the boy down, he said. If you don't really want to take over, give it to Stephanie. Just give it over to Stephanie. Or give it to Matt Broderick and DDP and myself. And we give it to Coffee, too. We'll give it to everybody in the chat room. Everybody in the chat room with a job. Yeah, there we go. Coffee, since you like to travel so much, we'll let you be in charge of international, you know, department. You can be in charge of the international department for WWE. DDP and Matt Broderick, you expect to be the director. Can't tell me from 86 and yes, 3658 is in charge of the chat room. Thank you for joining us. The three of us will be in charge of the WWE. See, it could be just like that. Because it's like I said last week. All routinely control. It's just messed up. It's energetically messed up when they go around and they mess up their own damn storylines. It's like I was, because I had, you know, called Matt Broderick. Remember, Matt, we had the conversation last Friday night a week ago? And we talked about this. That's why I felt it was strongly that we needed to talk about this on the air. Because I told him, he's like, what's up with the Kane thing? Why does Michael Cole keep saying that they're friends? Yeah, Kane and The Undertaker are friends. See what I mean? In the 90s, they had said that Kane and The Undertaker are brothers. Oh, now that it's 2012? Ever since WrestleMania, that's what Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler were saying. It's The Undertaker's friend. It's Kane. They're best friends. They're best buddies. Oh, it's not like Kane and The Undertaker are going to walk to show. Hey, what's up, bro? Yeah, we're best friends now. Yeah. We're not brothers anymore. Yeah. We're just best friends. Are you crazy, Vince? I think Vince has lost his mind and he's been losing it for years. Right, Coffee? He's like, what, almost 70 years old? Damn. DDP may look different than all of us, but at least DDP's got a brain. He knows how to use it. Right, DDP? You're the man. DDP really is the man. For those of you that's in the chat room that are just joining us. Because, I mean, to do this thing called wrestling, and like I said last week, Vince has always said that the word wrestling is a cuss word. It's a bad word. You can't ever say that around Vince, or you'll be fired. But I mean, honestly, if this storyline was to participate myself and Matt Broderick, and for years, let's say that good old JR, Jim Ross, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler were saying these two, Matt Broderick and Matt Alvarez, they're long lost brothers. Haven't seen each other in 20 years. And, you know, I'll be the ignorant one. I'll be pretend to be the Kane character, okay, Matt, to make you happy. And let's say that for years the writers have always said that Matt Broderick was the one responsible for burning my face, burning me up in that fire that they so-called that they had when the Undertaker's parents got their house burned down many, many years ago when they were teenagers. But then you fast forward to 2012 and all of a sudden you're going to say that me and Matt Broderick are no longer related. We're best friends. How does that make sense to the audience watching? Oh, wait. And the other thing? Remember when Paul Bearer was there? Good old Paul Bearer. I wonder if he's on the game. Anybody know? I'll have to find out. I'm seriously going to play that game after we go off the air here, ladies and gentlemen. Because he's a legend, too. He should at least be in the game. I mean, the commercial did say that Diamond Dallas Page was in the game somewhere. It's just, I think you have to unlock him because he's not on the main roster. So, DDP. mm-hmm. But remember when Paul Bearer was there? In 1997, he said, "Look what you've done, Undertaker. You've ruined your brother's life. The catastrophe of the fire severely, severely messed up his voice. And now he can only talk through a voice box." And for many years, Paul Bearer had said on the microphone through storyline analogy, the storyline analogy was, he'll never be able to talk again. But like I said, here we are 20 years later, fast forward to 2012. Ever since WrestleMania, when he took off the mask, did all these other things, they had Kane take off his mask, and they had Kane have these awesome, amazing, amazing matches with Shane McMahon at the time. Oh, right after, you know, once Kane started feuding with Shane, oh, all of a sudden, magically, I can talk. I am the devil's favorite demon. And you go, wait a minute. I thought Paul Bearer was the one that said that Kane would never, ever, ever talk again. That he could only talk through his so-called dumbass voice box. Well, you ruined that concept because you took the mask off of him. They revealed his real name on the May 2004 edition of Monday Night Raw that night back in of that year of 2004, they ruined the whole concept. And it's like, this is why I don't understand what they're trying to do. Vicky Guerrero is not in charge in storyline terms. But commentary-wise through JR and Michael Cole, oh, she's the boss. She is the boss. So that's Vince McMahon and his daughter Stephanie McMahon telling JR and Michael Cole in their headsets, just tell the audience that's watching on television what's going on here. The people that are here in the arena live, they'll find out what we said on the air. Yeah, once they get home and watch it on their DVR, because that's what most people, I bet all of you, you lucky bastards, I don't have DVR availability, so, hey. But you're confusing the audience. I mean, sure, you're making it interesting for the audience to come back. But what they're basically coming back to is even more confusion than the week before. Remember when Triple H had fired John Laurinaitis? And then, in trivial fashion, live on Raw, Vince McMahon, because, you know, CM Punk had did what he did earlier this year, and he walked out of Matt Broderick's hometown, Chicago, with the championship, saying, I'm going to go to another promotion. Maybe ROH with this title. Remember that? Because the week before on Raw, Vince McMahon said that if he loses Sunday, if he walked out of Chicago with the title, then John Cena, you're going to be fired. Which led to another strange occurrence. Right before that happened, Triple H came down and he told Vince, you're not going to fire John Cena. You're not going to fire anybody. Then he starts crying and trying to be realistic as possible. Has the game ever broken down like that? Crying, weeping on national television. No, this was the first time ever, ever in the history of the show that they did this. Matt, didn't someone already have that sign in New York when the ECW brand was still around? The very same sign. Wow, that's crazy. But remember, Triple H is on national television here, ladies and gentlemen, crying and going, I'm sorry, Pop. You're not going to fire anybody. I'm officially relieving you of your duties. And he just put the microphone down because he didn't want to, you know, upset Vince anymore. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad. And then people went, wait a minute. Vincent's the boss. How does Triple H have the authority to actually relieve him of his duties? See what I mean? Confusion. They brought more confusion with that whole thing with Triple H relieving Vince of his duties, only to, here we are. Remember, Vince didn't come back till the second week of October. And ever since not now because now it's November, but all of last month, he kept showing up, telling AJ this and that and doing things and saying that, well, you're going to have to come down with me. We have to go to the WWE Board of Directors. We have to go to the Stamford, Connecticut office and we need to have a meeting. Because they've been trying to find the right authority figure. Vince had just named her the general manager 2 months ago, which means she was only general manager for 3 whole months. So, see, this is why I have a problem with them doing their damn Raw rewrites. Because they're afraid, well, this is not going to, what if it doesn't work this week? Well, fine, let's scratch it off and start all over again. Remember the September 12th edition of Raw this year? Remember I told you guys about that? Why the camera crew kept fucking up and they didn't know where to point their cameras? And why some of the promos were so inaccurate? Well, because on the September 12th edition of Raw, the writers had finally rewritten that show 9 times. And they finally finished it just 10 minutes before they were scheduled to start the show. 10 minutes. They finally got it together. They said, okay, we got it. This is the story we are going with. What have I been saying, though? If the story doesn't work, you can always rewrite it the following week. See what I mean? What happened to the good old days? Because in the good old days, Vince would have his writers, you know, concentrate. After SmackDown was over, Vince had always, in the old days, had taken care of the house shows and what would be the theme or the written storyline for the house shows. Because it's not on television. and Vince would take care of that. That way the writers could, they didn't have to worry about writing the house shows. They could write the storylines for that Monday's Raw. They had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do it. Now Vince says you only got Sunday and Monday to do it. Why not go back to the way it was, the system that worked before? Let the writers have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to concentrate for Monday Night Raw. Then you won't have to do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 rewrites for the same show. This is crazy. But if any more confusion happens, eventually something disastrous will happen to the company known as WWE. No, I'm not saying they're going to go out of business. I'm saying something more will happen because, Matt, don't think I didn't pay attention to what you said about Ric Flair coming in. Oh, he's coming in all right. Remember the storyline that they had back when Vince thought that he had full control of WCW and ECW? And Ric Flair came in the co-owner? You know what? In real life, there's some truth to that. In real life, Vince says there's only one man that can actually make this happen, that can fix WWE. And even though I don't like him, I really hate him. I don't like him at all. But it has to be Ric Flair. See? Things like this may or may not happen. And even if it's not Ric Flair, keep watching. Because I'm telling you, the days of being confused are slowly coming to an end for Vince McMahon. He's already 71 years old. Is he going to try and outlive his life? Much like another guy that I know, Al Davis. Al Davis. Is this a tribute for Vince McMahon to live? Or is he going to keep confusing us with the same old bullshit that we've known for one whole year of being PG? The anti-bullying campaigns are bullshit too, like I've been saying. They're not even legitimate. They're for kids only. Because Vince knows that if he tries to sell us adults that crap, no one's going to listen. And he's absolutely right. Coffee, I'm sure you can save the WWF. Let's get that name back in there. I can do it. Can you?
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty, says, yes, every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling.
www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media. And here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
We're the gamers deciding to fly against the sky. Within our dreams we all wake up to kiss the ones who are born to die. Within our dreams we are.
the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back once again right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Man, it feels like I've done a four-hour show. Time's going by, but it's not going by that fast, and that's a good thing. I want to enjoy this Friday. You know, I wish weekends would last longer, don't you? I know Matt Broderick does. And damn, Coffee, are you serious? Coffee said in the chat room that he's playing Red Dead Redemption, and he shot a pig in the street. And then for no reason at all, he said the bad guys, all these guys came after him. And I said, a pig, wow. Really? Oh, Coffee, you said no? Oh, the pig was in Assassin's Creed? Oh, the army came after him. I'm going to have to get this game. I'm going to have to get this game real bad. I want the army to come after me. Oh, and Matt, yeah. It's fun to piss off the cops. Not just in Grand Theft Auto, but in any game. But mostly in Grand Theft Auto. I'll take down all these damn cops. Ah, Rock 7. Welcome to the chat room. I don't care what video game has to do with cops. If a video game has to do with cops, I will deal with the cops. I'll take them all out. Really, Coffee? Coffee said that Saints Row is better than Grand Theft Auto. In his own personal opinion, of course. Hey, this is the Sports Opinion Show. You are entitled to your own opinion. Got to welcome, once again, Coffee, Guest 2786, Matthew Broderick, DDP, and Rock 7 into the chat room. Thank you all for being here. Now let's get into what took place last night. Because even though last night wasn't confusing, it was interesting as hell. I just find it ironic, though, that for some reason, no cussing was implemented by anyone, one of the wrestlers last night on TNA, except one, Bully Ray. The TV title match featured Samoa Joe and Brutus Magnus. And it's like I always say, when WWE does something that TNA likes to use it and copy it, and vice versa. Whenever WWE sees something that TNA did, they go, oh, we can use that too. Even though, like I said, off and on you have heard me say that Vince McMahon and Dixie Carter have told me the media, what are you talking about? I don't watch WWE. I've got to run my own company. I've got to run TNA over here. And then you go back and you talk to Vince. Did you steal this storyline from Dixie Carter? What? No, damn it. I'm Vince McMahon. I come up with my own ideas. I don't steal or borrow. I don't have time to watch TNA. I'm Vince McMahon, damn it. Yeah, right. Because the Brutus Magnus Samoa Joe match, anytime I see Samoa Joe, I get excited. I love Samoa Joe's matches. All of his matches are five-star matches. They are awesome to watch. But here's the stipulation that I said where it copies WWE. Remember how I said on Raw that Kofi Kingston and Antonio Cesaro match? That Antonio Cesaro had to resort to using some type of illegal weapon. He used a welding wrench, remember? Well, last night on TNA, Brutus Magnus knew that he could not beat Samoa Joe fair and square, as the storyline goes. But he too grabbed a wrench and used it on the back of Samoa Joe's head, right in front of the referee. because they saw WWE's Raw show and they decided to copy it and use it for their own game. Please be original, people. Come on, what the fuck? Be original. Anyway, gut check time. Zema Ion, who's still relatively new to TNA, but not the next guy that was the gut check opponent. The returning Christian York. Yes, that's right. Christian York, even at his somewhat late mid-age crisis life of being in his mid-40s, showed that he could still do it and still go the distance. Especially when he triangled a somersault flip with a chair on top of Zema Ion and took him out. Now, can you say that Christian York still has it? I can. That was awesome. ODB took on Jesse Guderian's. And because the pre-match storyline stipulation was that ODB had been telling everybody, well, my husband ain't here. She was referring to Eric Young. I'm going to have to beat the hell out of a man. I want to beat up a guy. I don't want to beat up a knockout from the knockout division. I want to beat up a guy. And this is when Jesse approached her backstage and said, well, you know, it is open fight night, so bring your ass to the ring and I'll beat the woman out of you. And that's when it came into to play. And I don't know exactly where Eric Young is or why he has not been on television. But still, they have to do something about this because, ladies and gentlemen, this husband and wife trio of ODB and Eric Young, and even though he's not a woman, guest 2786, he's one half of the Knockouts women's tag team champions with his so-called wife, ODB. I think it's time for real women wrestlers to take these championship belts away from these two. And whoever came up with this storyline is an idiot. How can a man and woman be women's tag team champions? In retrospect, I know it's called the Knockouts division, but you get my drift, right? The X Division champion Rob Van Dam took on Joey Ryan, but Joey Ryan won thanks to the help of Matt Morgan, who did the Morgan Slam on him. That's right, Matt Morgan is now affiliated with Joey Ryan, costing RVD the match. But RVD, even at his age, showing why he's the whole effing show, can still do it. When Joey Ryan took off and, you know, this during the match, he was halfway up the aisle, ready to leave. And then RVD launches himself. That's like what? 15 feet from the ring all the way to where Joey Ryan was, and he still nailed him? I feel like I'm watching a young, really young version of RVD, because that was crazy. Even JB said on commentary, he's not going to do this. He will never make this jump. He's not going to do it. There's no way you can make this. And, of course, the other announcer that was hired by TNA officials, he echoed the same sentiment. He's like, even I would not attempt this jump. But RVD backed up, ran the rope, jumped on the top rope, and launched at least 15 feet halfway up the ramp to where Joey Ryan was and caught him with the clothesline still. I couldn't believe that. Coffee said that he's still playing the game that he's been playing. Well, listening to me rant my mouth off, he said he just stabbed a cat and what else? And he just stabbed a sheep. That's it. Matt Broderick, call the SPCA. He's killing all the animals, damn it. Coffee, what do you think that game is? It's not the Oregon Trail. Come on now. You don't need those animals for food or dinner. Yeah, I just said that live on the air, too. Anyway, Bully Ray kind of took on his brother D-Von and kind of didn't. Because the storyline had been rampant all of last night. That someone, they didn't say who, they didn't mention how they were going to do it. At least they stuck to their storyline without confusing us. Because I, for one, did not get confused. But ethically, the storyline was that someone from Aces and Eights, was going to get demasked. Now, I know that last week that the rumors about... Well, the rumors were swirling for the last 6 weeks that... The rumor was that D-Von Dudley was a part of this Aces and Eights group. And then remember, the week before, the last TV taping before Bound for Glory, that's when D-Von did finally appear on television, and then all the rumors were correct. He really was a part of Aces and Eights. And I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked. When Joseph Park said that even though he's not a wrestler, and Hulk Hogan would not allow him to even wrestle in a match because he's not a wrestler, but he said that he found a loophole and there were certain things you could do on open fight night whether you're a wrestler or not. So, being that this was the main event between D-Von and Bully Ray, brother versus brother, at least they're still acknowledging that D-Von and Bully Ray are brothers, unlike Kane and The Undertaker, who are, like I said, they consider them best friends. Anyways, he got himself involved and interjected in the match. Joseph Park came down there. He slapped one of the members of Aces and Eights across the face. Then he used his left hand to pull the mask off, because the person was still recovering from being bitch-slapped. And all Mike Tenay and JB would say was, first Mike Tenay, hey, I know that guy. JB's like, yeah, I know him too. I've seen him around. I've seen him on TV all the time. But they would actually never, ever mention his name. See, and at least TNA confirmed their fears, but they don't confirm their fears through storyline. Vince McMahon's like, well, mention this on TV. Well, WWE has a serious problem, and this might happen to WWE, we're not sure, blah, 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 blah. But TNA, they're like, I don't know, let's just not mention this on television, and they don't. They play it all cool, like they've got it all under control. That's all they said. That's the reason why they did what they did. And I applaud them for that, even though I knew. I was like, hey. When Joseph Park pulled his mask down last night, and Matt Broderick, I looked at the TV and I said, you used to be Luke Gallows in WWE. Now who are you going to be? Who knows what they're going to name him now. But of course, Joseph Park paid for that dearly, dearly. He is not a wrestler by any means. But he was willing to take one for the team, being that he's not a wrestler at all. He's just some stand-in guy that TNA hired. And it was never their intention for them to take the so-called Joseph Park character this far. But, you know, once you've done something unrealistic that is now probably realistic enough, they put him through a table. Yeah, good luck with that idea, Matt. I don't think that'll happen in TNA. Because this is the way it is. And it kind of, see what I'm saying? They're worried in some strength, but they're at the same time they're keeping themselves restrained by saying that they're not going to worry, that everything is okay. We've got it under control. It's just we got to keep it under control. And I'm not sure if you can see the storyline spilling out. But it's like I said, at the top of the show, I said this will be about confusion and non-confusion. The non-confusion is that TNA is acting like there's nothing wrong in their company. Well, WWE is striving to get back the people that used to watch their product, and they're having a hard time doing that. TNA's new concept is what WWE was when I mentioned, this is why I mentioned the whole Nexus deal. This is where I bring it all home for you. This is where it all makes sense. Because Sting had said in the middle of the show that he's not going to rest until each member of Aces and Eights is done. Kind of like what John Cena said 2 years ago with the Nexus. When he said that he's not going to stop until he takes down each and every single member of the Nexus. This is basically the same storyline for TNA. But they're not going to use the exact words. And you saw that last night. It was Testament. They didn't need to grab a microphone and say all the stupid shit that WWE does. They simply just used Joseph Park as an instrument of violence, as a way to keep the show and the storyline rolling. And they did. So, what else can we expect from TNA? I expect to see more from TNA than WWE, but we'll see what happens because it's only Friday. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Monday night is on the way. Take care, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to go play this game.
And he's in the top rope, and he's cheated! Frog flash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yeah! It's champion!
He looked to keep on dead, John Hancock, on a great new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive, that's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it, because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies. Calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Anyways, like I said, I'm going to go play this game. Take care. Peace.